office. You know, nowadays with the ability to email things, fax things, put things on a CD.
My name is Kevin Van Hentenrick of the Hunter Stone Carving Seminar, and you are listening to WGXC Accra 90.7 FM.
Listen to music and voices. Listen to art and discussion. Listen to work and play. Listen to eat and drink. Listen to up and down. Listen to noise and fun. Listen to purple and green. Listen to pink and blue. Listen to a heart rainbow. Listen to wizards and witches. Listen to jazz play. Listen to dogs and mice. Listen to Rome and Italy. Listen to Mars and Venus. Listen to the planet. Listen to the planet. Listen to ladies and dumplings. Listen to books. Listen to teeth and trunks. Listen to bath time and nap time. Listen to Kaizen and Violet. Listen to Stars and Stripes. Listen to Texas and listen to bells and waterfalls. Listen to churches and steeple. Dance and sing and listen and bells. Listen to making things, stripes and zigzags. Listen to clouds and leaves, bike riding and zigzagging. No, listen to bike riding and curving. Listen to the radio going on and on. Listen to the radio going on and on. Listen to the radio WGXC.
WGXC underwriting support is provided by Hilo Catskill, cafe, bar, art gallery, and performance space located at 365 Main Street, Catskill, New York. Wayfarm's WGXC is pleased to broadcast live from Hilo every Tuesday morning starting at 9 a.m. In addition, Hilo live events are streamed and broadcast in conjunction with the Wayfarm Radio Transmit Partner Program.
You're tuned to Radio Art, Creative Transmissions, Sound Experiments, Noise, and more on WGXC 90.7 FM, Accra.
You are tuned into WGXC 90.7 FM on our local community radio and globally at WGXC.org, Accra, Catskill, Hudson, Columbia, and Greene Counties, New York. Listener supported. This is the Art of the Hudson Valley podcast for March 2020, and I'm your host, Chad Weckler. Today we are on location in Hudson at Barn Fox, and I have two guests who are the partners of Barn Fox, and they both have interesting backgrounds, and we're going to get to all of it. And Frederick, please introduce yourself.
Hi, I'm Frederick Pekowski, co-founder of Barn Fox.
Tim.
I'm Tim Tedesco, also co-founder of Barn Fox.
Why did the two of you do what you just did, create Barn Fox?
Well, first of all, we met on a Facebook group called Gypsy Housing in Brooklyn. Basically, I was needing a room to rent, and I found Tim through the Facebook group. He had a room to rent, and I showed up at his place. And we just got to talking. And at the time, I was really into the idea of spending more time in upstate New York. And I expressed the idea of what if there were co-working spaces in upstate that let people get out of the city more often. And I learned that Tim was dreaming about building cabins in upstate New York, and he's a builder, and we kind of just hit it off right away, and it was almost like a serendipitous moment.
How long ago was that?
Like 2.5 years ago, almost three.
Two and a half, three years.
Ago, yeah.
You guys work fast.
We try. Yeah. So he came over to my apartment one evening and told me about his book idea, and I was like, "Yeah, we'll build cabins." And then we had this idea like that night. Basically, we ended up, I think we drank some whiskey that night around the kitchen table.
Yeah.
And I still needed to rent the room, so I was like, what's up with the room? Am I getting the room or what?
Yeah,
yeah. Let's not forget about the room.
I was really concerned about the room at the moment. I gave him the room. Yeah. You got the room. Yeah, so we actually ended up, like, about probably like a year, less than a year later, we bought a piece of property together in the Western Catskills. We bought 5 acres, and we had plans for that property, you know, to use it as for our, like, you know, getaway retreat space. But I was like, you know what? I'm just going to build a cabin on it. So I built a 144 square foot cabin on the property to use as like a prototype for the business. So,
because that's barely an apartment size.
Yeah, it was, it was 12 by 12. And we ended up selling the property with the cabin on it, but we used it as a prototype for the business.
Was it one of those off-the-grid kind of places?
Yeah. I built it. There's no electricity or running water on the property, so I built it off the grid. I used battery-powered tools to build it, like tucked away. It was actually at the top of like a really small mountain. Like tucked into the woods with, you know, a nice little view. It had like a self-sustained toilet, like a small toilet that uses hardly any water. A small solar panel that just lit up a couple LED lights. And I built an outhouse also. So it was definitely off the grid.
And Frederick, how were you involved in this, or were you?
Yeah, so I think one of the big reasons Tim and I work really well together is we share a lot of the same ideas and interests, but we are very complementary in our skill sets. The things that I can't do, Tim can do, and I think the things that Tim can't do, I do, but it comes together really well. So when we had this idea of buying a property and building cabins and workspaces in upstate New York, I was somebody who was sort of figuring out how to make it a business. Also using sort of my skill sets are more along the lines of like business development, but also designing, branding and marketing. And Tim's skill set was obviously like building and also designing. So we work together well as designers. I can't build anything other than IKEA furniture.
During that time, Freddie and I, we had the idea to have the co-working space as like a standalone building, a larger piece of property. And I designed a scale model of the build, and I built a scale model, and we actually brought those into like pitch meetings, like an actual scale model the size of you know, a small table.
Is that why the word retreat is sort of part of the description of Barn Fox?
Well, I think like the idea is essentially when you're working remotely, you're also taking time to have a retreat. You're retreating from the city, or you're retreating from whatever your day-to-day life is. So yeah, the idea is you have a workspace that's away from your day-to-day routine. You're retreating. And I think we're living in a time now where we have the ability to work from just about anywhere. And that's what we want to accommodate to. That was always sort of the idea. And for Tim and I, our idea was, well, let's start in the Catskills, 2 hours away from New York City in the woods.
And Frederick, you have a background in farming?
A little bit of everything. Well, I've always been an entrepreneur. I've always just been like a self-starter. I actually dropped out of college, and I always, even in high school, I was like, I don't need to go to school. I'm going to just build something eventually. It started off, my passions have always had to do with traveling and the culinary arts. And I think because traveling, was always a big part of, my passion, I happen to always work remotely. And as an entrepreneur, I'm just always working remotely. So all those things, including what we're doing today, just comes together and makes sense. The food part of it for me was always just, it's just a passion, and I went to culinary school in my early 20s. That was the only type of formal education I completed. It was culinary school. I went to culinary school. I was fortunate enough to partner up with somebody in a little cafe when I was right out of culinary school in my early 20s. And after about a year and a half, 2 years, we sold it. And I was, you know, in my mid-20s, and I never really traveled. So I took the money and literally ran and just backpacked around the world for about 4 or 5 months and became obsessed with traveling. And I was on to my next entrepreneurial pursuit and started a publishing company about, like, it was basically an online travel guide for hipsters, millennials, called Off Track Planet. It was a guide for the young, sexy, and broke. We gained a big following online in like 2010 and then got a publishing deal and started publishing travel guide books that were in a lot of retail stores. And I did that for about like 8 years.
What would you say are the most wants of your readers and why they would go to those books?
At the time?
Yeah.
Well, at the time, you know, that was like a different lifetime for me. I was young and like our whole thing was creating content about traveling on basically like as little money as possible, but not like a vagabond, but like, you know, hostels and,
yeah,
and street food and things like that. So we did well because we very openly talked about, first of all, drug and sex culture around the world, which, you know, at the time was just Lonely Planet was basically the main backpacker guidebook. And I just saw this opportunity, especially on the web, to relate travel topics to things that, like, I knew that, you know, people in their 20s really wanted to know about when they traveled. So that was, it was like a very like rebellious travel guide, a very edgy travel guide. And we spoke about those things openly. So that was a big part of why, you know, it gained steam. But at the heart of it, the passion for me was always that traveling gave me this perspective of the world that really allowed me to embrace myself and where I fit into the world. Like traveling allowed me to realize that at that time I was sort of I was ready to sort of become an expatriate. Like I was ready to like flee the US and go live like a bohemian lifestyle in Amsterdam. And but I was always very entrepreneurial, and traveling allowed me to realize that actually being in the United States was a place that it was the best place for me to be what I wanted to be. And so it was a life-changing experience, and I created that company hoping that more young people would find that for themselves. So it was any way I could spread the message of travel. I just found it in that way.
And is Tim a rebel, or was he a rebel?
A rebel? Well, I mean, I probably would have been a reader of those books, because in my 20s I traveled a lot too, and did the whole backpacking thing.
Kind of bummed you were, man.
Reading the books, I didn't know about them until I met you. But, I mean, yeah, I did a lot of traveling, stayed at hostels, and backpacked around, you know, the same way.
When did you pick up the desire to work with wood and construction and being a designer?
So I started that when I was a kid. I would literally take things apart. I take furniture apart. You know, my parents would get pissed at me. Like, you know, 10-year-old taking the furniture apart and putting it back together.
Well, that's the important part.
What, putting it back together? Yeah. Yeah. Well, I wouldn't put it back together the same way I, you know, it was. That was the point, right? You know, take it apart and create something new with it. I actually took my bed apart and reconstructed it and attached it to the wall with like hinges and chain, like folded up. But I always took wood shop classes in middle school, high school, and then went to college for furniture design and technology education to be a wood shop teacher. I didn't teach for very long because I enjoyed making my own things. You know, creating pieces. And then I taught individual woodworking classes, you know, for adult level classes at like art studios in Brooklyn. And so basically my entire life I've just been building things, mostly furniture, and then slowly got into interiors and then standalone structures like the tiny cabins. I've also built the tiny houses on wheels that you see, like, you know, on TV shows and stuff. So yeah, when we met up, Freddie and I really worked our complementary skills. You know, this space that we're in now, in Barn Fox, I built the entire space, you know, even the tables and whatnot.
What was Freddie doing?
Well, figuring out how we're going to make money.
He's behind the scenes.
Well, I mean, we both worked together on the design. Mm-hmm. So actually, for the 3 some months that it took to make this place what it is, I was really picking out a lot of furniture and deciding on colors and things like that. Which...
Freddie was doing a lot of the sourcing, you know, furniture, you know, which chairs we're going to go with, the colors we chose. And
so working very complementary together.
Yeah, I think that's how we were able to pull off something like this in such a short amount of time, is because nobody was stepping on each other's toes. Like, I can't build these things. So it was like Tim just, you know, doing what he does best. And like I said, like, I have a sort of innate ability to design brand marketing. And so and Tim and I don't like our aesthetic. Even if, like, he likes something and I don't, or vice versa, we're pretty good about picking our battles and coming to terms.
Yeah, we make it work. Definitely make it work.
You know, so so when you have a team like that, which is, you know, not easy to find. I've had my experiences with business partners in the past. It doesn't come by that often, especially.
We definitely have to put our ego aside, you know.
And especially, like, the commitment part. Like, that's hard. It's hard to find somebody that's willing to commit. Because we're both... This became our priority in life.
Yeah.
Since when we decided to do something like this. It was like, this came first. That's a mutual understanding we have that we don't even have to talk about. Like, this is the most important thing versus pretty much everything else. Because we're ambitious and we have big plans for it. And it was, like, always understood that, like, this was the priority. So it was a big commitment.
There's definitely no lazy in your lexicon.
And there's also, we're also doing something we love, so you don't have to really, you know what I mean? When you're doing something and you're ambitious and you're driven, you don't have, you know, you want to. There's no reason to be lazy.
Yeah, I need to be building something all the time. I just love building stuff, whether it's a piece of furniture or, you know, a business with somebody that wants to do the same thing.
Yeah, I think for any, like, sort of, like, entrepreneur, builder, creative person, there's this, like, you never really want to get complacent. I think we're maybe very anxious people, but you start overthinking everything when you're not busy. So you just got to stay busy and feel like there's an ability to continue growing.
Why did you pick Hudson?
That's a good question. So as Tim was saying, we first sort of, like, the concept started with this property that we bought in the Catskills, about 2 hours away from here, on the top of this mountain. We built this, well, Tim built the cabin. We designed it and he built it, and it was actually a beautiful, tiny little cabin. By the way, I think an interesting part of the story we didn't mention was that him and I both lived in it together for about 4 months with his big dog. 140 square feet, right?
Yeah.
That was not easy.
144 square feet. No electricity, no running water.
What time of the year, though?
It was like summer.
Okay.
Yeah.
Summer, fall.
So the way we ended up in Hudson was we built this, we got this cabin built in the Catskills, and I was, you know, we were looking at it as Tim is building this cabin to basically show some little version, what you call an MVP, a minimal viable product, of, like, what we ultimately wanted to build. And I sort of packaged this into a pitch deck and started thinking about who would be interested in partnering with us, who would be interested in financing something like this on a larger scale. And we happened to strike up a relationship with a local hospitality group. And when I say a hospitality group, it sounds a bit fancier than it really is. It's a family-owned business. Sims Foster, Kirsten Foster, they own the Foster Supply Hospitality Group. Sims grew up in the area, in this area that we're in. I don't even think we mentioned it, but this is all in Livingston Manor.
In the Western Catskills.
Western Catskills. Yep. Which, you know, we ended up there completely by coincidence. Like, we had no idea what was going on there, or if there was even anything. If, you know, we just bought the land because it was within 2 hours of New York City, mm-hmm. which we liked, and it was within our budget, which wasn't much.
It was cheap. It was cheap.
Yeah. And we just realized that, like, Livingston Manor happened to be going through this renaissance. Mm-hmm. You know, it was a town where people from Brooklyn were going to buy property, creative people who were sort of ditching the city to buy houses in the Catskills to open up, like, businesses. So there's this cool little scene of artists, cool little scene of, like, restaurants and bars mm-hmm. and wine shops and things like that. So we're like, oh, well, then we actually found ourselves in kind of a cool, trendy place. Mm-hmm. And so the Fosters were part of that that trend as well, because they opened these cool little boutique hotels. They basically took these old, dilapidated hotels from the Borscht Belt era, and they were renovating them into these cool new boutique hotels and B&Bs that were getting people from the city to come out to these places and you know, put...
For the, you know, farm-to-table experience. Yeah. Each one has their own restaurant.
Mm. Yeah. So yeah. Sims grew up in that town, actually, when it was not such a good, nice place to be. Economically, at least. It was, you know, went through a depressed period of time. And he worked in the hospitality world in Manhattan. He was very successful at it. And I think it was just always his passion and goal to bring his ability to build food experiences and hospitality experiences where he grew up and turn that town around, and which he's basically done. They opened their first place about 7 years ago, the Arnold House. They have one of the most famous restaurants in the country right now at the De Bruce. So we learned about this person when we got to this place in Livingston Manor, and we thought he might be a good person to talk to about what we were thinking mm-hmm. about doing. And at the time, I was working on a new book called Farm and Land, Back to Land. Mm-hmm. It was a book about what I was inspired by at the moment, which was people, you know, leaving the city and setting up shop. People like Tim and I and these people in Livingston Manor. I found that this was a, you know, potentially a global phenomenon of people leaving urban centers to establish themselves and, you know, rediscover craftsmanship and working with your hands and agriculture. And so I initially approached Sims by saying we wanted to put them in the book, but really my whole plan was to talk to them about what we really wanted to be doing.
Good for you.
Which worked. So we got a meeting with them and it was like, yeah, we'd love to put you in the book, but here's what we really want to talk about. And we basically told them our idea, which was on a big scale, we see there being a movement of people moving their lifestyles outside of the city, but also people being able to work more easily from anywhere. Mm. And I think there's also the whole aspect of where the pace of life is increasing because, you know, just instant gratification with our phones and technology. And so there's, I think, you know, yoga and meditation has never been more popular because people are needing ways to kind of calm down, relax, and anxiety levels are really high. So to backtrack a little bit, actually, I just wanted to mention this part.
Sure.
The thing that was the aha moment for me that when the travel thing sort of ended and this whole farm getaway lifestyle started, I was completely burned out from, like, trying to build a company and living in New York City for almost 10 years straight. And I just completely hit a wall. And there's, like, a proverbial millennial burnout. So I would definitely say I was part of that wave. And I quit everything and, like, lost the energy and motivation to really do anything other than just, like, not, you know, just basically did nothing for a little while and was fortunate enough to have a little bit of money saved up. And I just, you know, backpacked because that seems to be the thing mm-hmm. that inspired something for me. And I was actually in Switzerland hiking in the Swiss Alps. Have you been mm-hmm. to the Swiss Alps?
I have.
It's like heaven on earth.
Yeah.
It's like mind-blowing beauty. And it re-energized me and replenished like my soul in a way where I was like, this, I want to, you know, this is what's missing from not just my life, from so many people's lives, I think, who are, you know, the reason there's burnout is because we're disconnected from something so basic as just being on a hike in the tree, surrounded by the trees. So that was the that was the tipping point for me that started this whole wanting to write about people moving out to places like this. And the when I met Tim, I was just like right in that moment of like writing this book and being super inspired by all that.
Yeah, I always say that's you know, the Alps is another reason or an example of a reason why we should keep here in the United States a lot of the national parks intact. Yeah. And even in the Hudson Valley, it's just can be very inspirational when you can get away from people and man-made things and when you get back to nature. And,
yeah. And there's a lot of good that comes along with, you know, creating a business that ultimately our goal is to get more people from the city in nature, ultimately, because, you know, environmental concerns and all that. I think like the best way, my idea with the travel company when we wrote about partying and having a good time was like, well, if we could just get people, find people an entertaining way to get out there, they can figure out the good parts for themselves, hopefully. That's sort of the same idea with this. If you get people out to these places, hopefully they figure out the good parts, which is you want to preserve nature. You want, you know, if it re-energizes and reconnects people in positive ways, then they want to preserve it. They want to save it.
It's kind of ironic though, since we came out here, you know, moved away from the city. It's like we never get to experience nature because we're just constantly trying to build, you know, like, you know, get this business going and you know, focus on.
I mean, projects. I would expect you're very satisfied, or you like how it's working so far. I mean, you've only been open a very short period of time, but I also see the two of you, the wheels still turning, and as to what's next, there must be also.
Oh yeah, we're just starting. You know, this is, you know, we have big plans, like Freddie said before. So we think opening this location has been a success so far. But yeah, wheels are spinning.
Yeah, I think to go back all the way back to the original question, why did we open in Hudson? You know, we met this guy, Sims, and what he was doing in the area we originally bought our property and had this cabin. Our original idea was actually to create something on a big piece of land that was like deep into the forest or in the countryside. And then after a lot of sort of strategic meetings, what we realized was a better way to get way more exposure is if we did it in the center of a town in a place like this. So, and it would allow us to, you know, there was a lot of hurdles as far as zoning and permitting for what we wanted to do because it didn't really exist. So we realized doing something like this, the way that we did it with Barn Fox and Hudson Valley, was a great way just to get started, get off the floor in a very quick way that gave us a lot of exposure. Hudson is a perfect location because it's a popular getaway destination. There's a ton of people here, and we're right in the thick of it.
Yeah. There's a very creative scene that, you know, live here also.
Yeah, it's both full-time and part-time.
Right, yeah. You have both full-time, part-time, a lot of cultural things here, you know, the arts. I mean, we love that there's the Opera House directly across the street, which is so cool.
Yeah. And even though we're like not, you know, particularly in a forest or on a countryside hill at the moment, like
you drive 5 minutes and you're in the countryside.
It's a kind of a gateway to all of it. And so we're still getting people, you know, we hope this is something that gives people permission to come out here more often.
Yeah, I almost see the two of you having, as you mentioned before, a larger country place.
Yeah.
Where there's farming going on and making going on, and then you have a sort of a communal, people come for a weekend or a couple weeks and just get into making and eating and growing together.
To some extent, all those things, I guess Tim said, like, we're just getting started. I think, like, so we are already going to be, you know, we already have plans on the second location, which will be back in Livingston Manor. It'll actually be, by no coincidence, you know, right next door to a Foster Supply hotel called the Arnold House.
And restaurant.
Yeah. But yeah, it's just, it's very fortuitous that I even worked out that way, because they just happen to have the perfect space for us next door to their place. At least for right now, we're not doing like food service. So, you know, for us to be up on this like countryside hill, being next door to a hotel that has food, is perfect. It makes perfect sense. And that location will be a little bit closer to what like the original idea was, which is like, you will be, you know, there's private hiking out the back door. It's at this top of this beautiful, scenic hillside, beautiful views of the Catskills from there. That location, you'll really feel like you're in a nature retreat.
What county is that in?
Sullivan County.
Sullivan?
Yeah. It's 2 hours from the city. So it's about the same distance Hudson is, but like a triangle.
So
Western Catskills.
South of Ulster?
Southwest of Ulster.
Yeah. Like, what we're really, really, really excited about is, we have a really, I think, interesting opportunity where I think what we're doing is we're sort of pioneering something here, which is the idea of, you know, remote working is not a new idea. Co-working is not a new idea. But what we're trying to establish is almost like a culture. We feel that culture is going into a direction where you can work from anywhere. Like, that's just going to become a more established idea. More and more people and companies, even institutional sized companies and like finance and healthcare, will allow their employees to work remotely. So we're accommodating to that. And I think like nothing really exists like that yet. So I think like the opportunity is really, really big.
I would say that what helps a location, potentially Barn Fox and Hudson, and even the hotels that are around here, is bringing groups of people, whether it's commercial or non-commercial, as a retreat. And they want some place where they can stay. B, they want some place where they can eat. And C, do the things that they want to do that they are not going to want to do at home.
Yeah.
So here you are.
Yeah. And the work component, like having a space that allows you to work, allows you to do that more practically, right? So I like going back to the retreat aspect of it. When you take a vacation, you take a vacation, but you can only take a vacation so often.
Yeah, you don't have to leave work behind. You don't have to leave work at home.
Yeah,
you know, can come more often and still work.
The idea is that you don't have to wait till the weekend or once every few months. The idea is you can take your laptop, and instead of going to your office in the city, you could come here, spend the afternoon answering emails or phone calls, and then walk out the door and, you know, go down to the Hudson River or take a drive in the countryside for a few days, and you don't skip a beat. You're not, you know, you're blending those two, the ability to work but also have a little bit of a vacation, a break from your everyday life.
And here's a nice place to meet with a potential business partner or a client.
Completely, yeah.
Yeah, there's great networking aspect to the space, to communal space. So
yeah, everybody who becomes a member of Barn Fox has to fill out a little application, and it gives us the ability to sort of put together a community of people that are really going to complement each other the same way Tim and I complement each other. People with potentially common interests and complementary skill sets. So yeah, opportunities arise out of that.
So what has been the reaction from some of the people that have become members, and those that are not going to be members but are curious?
So we've had people that, you know, obviously like the members that have signed up so far absolutely love it. I hope if they didn't, they'd tell us, but I don't think there's anything not to like. The space is beautiful. Tim did an incredible job building the space. If I do say so myself, I think we both did a great job designing it. And it's just a great place to be in. If we could move in, we would. but
it's there's a, room.
I've definitely fallen asleep in here.
So from that end, I think it's successful. I think there's some people who completely don't understand what we're doing or what this is, which is fair. And you know, what you don't know, you're scared of. So we've had a few people, you know, like, what the heck is this? We don't need it. And that's okay. And then, I think the larger part is it's going to take a little bit of time for people to kind of figure out what this is and how it fits into their lives. So, you know, there's the demographic that come in and they get it and they're like, great. And I want to be a part of it. And there are people who are like, I think I could use this, and then marinate on it. And then there's the small group of people who just stay away.
Well, that's every business.
Right. Exactly. So. And I've always like went with the knowledge that if people dislike what you're doing, then you're doing something right. So I'm fine with that.
How did the name come about, Barn Fox?
It's actually like a repurposed name. I was working on a startup company that had to do with like sustainable food products, and I needed to come up with a name for our newsletter. And the concept was an animal that delivers the news to you in a place where people congregate was the concept. Does that make sense? I don't know.
You should do a that child's book, I think.
My creative process was...
Yeah, going to children's book publishing.
Yeah, I think so.
The creative process was it was about farming and food, and I wanted to name the newsletter in a cute way that was like a farm animal sort of delivering the news, and a fox in a barn. I just put those two things together. And then, you know, that the project I was working on didn't end up really going anywhere. But I just kind of kept that name in my pocket, and I bought the .com like years ago. Actually, fun fact, when this becomes the empire that we imagine it would be. So the book that I wrote, Farm and Land, that was actually supposed to be the original name for this. And then at some point I realized if it wasn't going to necessarily be on a farm in the mountains or something like that, or in the hillside, in the countryside, it might not make sense. So I wanted something that was more sort of ambiguous. And that was when I realized, I kind of laid it on Tim and our business partners. I'm like, I got this name, Barn Fox. That
also, coincidentally, the first farm and land property with the cabin was on Fox Mountain Road.
That's true too. That's fine.
Yeah, and the mountain was unofficially Fox Mountain.
So it was all leading.
It was all And I didn't, you know, I kind of laid it on everybody. I was like, guys, I really think that we should change the branding and the name from Farm and Land to Barn Fox. And I think Tim was the only one who was like, I don't know. And as something that sort of has like a member-based club aspect to it, kind of community, I just envisioned, you know, everybody being a fox coming to the barn. So I don't know, it makes sense, and I think it was a good decision.
Plus, foxes are cute, and everybody likes foxes.
Yeah, so. We like foxes around here.
Yeah,
everybody's curious about the name, so I think that was a good decision.
What is the someone who wants to be a member? What are they going to end up doing here? Why do they want to be here?
I think there's a handful of reasons. Like we've been talking about, I think one is it's an excuse to leave their routine life, you know, be it in the city or wherever. So they're going to be here to be getting away from that. They're going to be here, obviously, to be productive. I would generally consider this sort of like a productive getaway. So they would be here to get whatever work they have in front of them done. And then you have the benefits of being in a space with other people that give you the opportunity to meet new people, and you know, who knows what can come from that. And then of course we're also using this as a event space and a community space
this space is designed to be to feel like you're being productive. So no matter where you're sitting in the space, there's outlets, conference room, and you know, the tech that you need to be productive. So
yeah.
What's the square footage that we're in?
It's 1,500 square feet.
Very comfortable.
Yeah. The next location in the Catskills is actually going to be almost twice the size. It's about 2,500 square feet. And we're sharing, I don't know how many acres, but pretty big chunk of land.
It's about a 100-acre property with trails going through it. There's a stream, a pond. Yeah. Um, the building itself is up towards the road, and then the views out the back. You know, you have really nice views that you could see for miles. And then, yeah, like we said, the hiking trails. So, and it, the that location will occupy the entire building. The two-story building, private conference rooms, lounge areas.
Well, one of the great things when I came here this afternoon and started talking to the two of you, we first started in one area to think about to do an interview. And Frederick thought, you know, maybe the conference room. Yeah, we can go there. And then let's try a booth. So there's either, right now we're in the booth, which is pretty cool. It sits
very cozy.
At least, well, there's three of us now. It'd easily do four. Yeah. You've got a nice little alcove, and you've got a curtain. Just
you're basically sitting in the jungle.
The jungle wallpaper.
Yeah, the jungle wallpaper and a nice wood table and seats, very comfortable seats. So, you know, one person could be here and four people could be here. It's almost like, you know, let's order our meal now.
Yeah.
Exactly. It'd be nice if someone brought some sushi to us, right?
Oh, that would be swell.
Yeah, you can conduct interviews in this space. You can answer emails, or if you're Tim, you can close the curtains and take a nap.
So you mentioned also using the community, you know, having the community have access to the space, which you've already done at least once. I was here for an incubator.
Oh, were you here for that?
Yeah, I was here for that, and it was really comfortable. People were engaged. There was always places for people to stand or sit, and it worked out very well. And do you see more of that happening?
Yeah, I mean, we're right now very open to basically all sorts of ideas. Like I said, I think, you know, this can be a community space for things. So we're open. We even announced having like more events as far as like mixer events where people would just get together and connect and socialize over anything. Maker events, something we've talked about doing.
Ah, cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. And also like meditation sessions.
Yeah, we actually have members that own meditation studios, and we've lightly tossed around the idea, so no promises yet, but there's some ideas of having like meditation sessions and things like that.
So you could do individual events for people, because you do have a large floor space that right now has a table in it, but
yeah, it's fairly modular. Move the table, yeah. The center area is modular, and then also the conference room could be used for like educational events, you know, or instructional. So if someone that wants to host an event here with, let's say there's, you know, eight people, they could use the conference room or, you know, more people in the main area. I think that the incubator event, there was like 50 people, like 40, maybe 40 people. I don't remember.
Yeah. We had 200 people on our opening celebration night come through here. That was pretty fun.
Total through the door. Yeah. Not all at the same time, but.
Can I talk about this the main design feature of this space?
Sure.
I think that's the thing that for most,
'cause, you know, our listeners would like to see or hear your description.
Paint the picture here, because I think that's the first thing people notice. So when we got the keys to this space about 4 months ago, it was a complete like just empty rectangular box with basically nothing. There
just
was no
white walls
drywall with holes in them basically on top of it, and no flooring. So
it had been an antique place,
an
and
antique
then
store. Before the antique place, it was Kennedy's Fried Chicken.
Yeah,
yeah.
So we felt like, all right, here's our chance to make an impression with our first location, and we have this pretty blank rectangular canvas. So the idea was, what will be our sort of centerpiece that grabs people's attention, and I think this is a good representation of how Tim and I work. We actually looked at it the other day. We've shared, I think, 3,000 pictures between each other between texts and Instagram in the last like year. But I send them like a picture, and I say, and then it was this really cool curved wall, wooden stripped, like wood wall. Mm. And I send that to Tim, and I'm like, wouldn't it be cool to have a curved wall? And then, you know, my whole, 'cause I'm not a builder, I'm always like throwing ideas at him to say like, what do you think about this, and can you do it? And
can we do it within budget?
And this is what I love about our work relationship is, I throw it to him, and I don't. He's always embraces
also,
the challenge.
I mean, the question, "Can you do it?" The answer is always yes.
Yeah, that's all it is. That's both of us. It's like we're both ambitious in whatever we're doing. It's like I think we also kind of challenge each other in that way too. It's like, Tim, what do you think about? First of all, you know, he has to like it, and then it's like, if you like it, can we do it? And Tim took that to like the next step and was like, how about we do the curvature but also add like a wave to it? And I was like, yeah, that would be next level.
We almost gave up on it, actually. Bending wood, you know, it was very difficult. And
so you're a can-do person.
Yeah.
Figured it out.
Was a moment where I was like, you know, almost ready to give up and be like, you know, let's just do a flat wall with some cool wood. And then one night I was laying in bed thinking like, oh, I could do it like this. And then I went and got some materials and did like a little mock prototype. And then I sent him pictures and I was like, this is how we're going to do it. And then the next day I went out and bought all the materials.
So what we ended up with is basically in the center of this rectangular space, what we have is cherry veneer strips of wood that are wrapped around molds to create the effect of a very curved, wavy wall.
It goes from the bar, so it's a 16-foot bar where we have the coffee bar and sink and whatnot. And it's the same width as the bar, and it goes from the counter. It goes all the way up the wall, curves up the wall, goes across the ceiling, and then waves across the ceiling.
How long is the one continuous piece of wood?
It is a continuous piece. If you stretched it out, it would be about 33 feet.
Oh.
Yeah, so it goes up a wall and across.
You're building a boat.
Similar to a boat. The ribs, the form, I cut out of plywood, 3/4-inch plywood, and then... you know, stretch, wrap the strips around that, just like a boat.
So are the two of you potentially looking at a design construction businesses,
I think we could always fall back on that. We've had requests. It's funny when people are like, who did your interior design?
Us, really. I guess. Yeah, people are surprised.
I wanted to say something fancy, but...
Yeah. Well, that's what I did in the city before Freddie and I got together. I designed and built interiors, furniture for clients in Brooklyn and Manhattan.
Are you still doing that?
No, I'm devoted all my time to Barn Fox now.
Because I did go to that website, and I would hire you.
Website?
The design site.
Tedesco Design?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's my personal website, yeah. Yeah, I don't do that. I'm not taking on new clients. I say that quite frequently. No,
I think we floated because we got so much positive feedback and questions about who did your design and all that. We floated very lightly the idea of like, well, if people really want those services, we could always have that on the side. But like, that's nothing that we're seriously
thinking
about.
We're 100% focused on Barn Fox, but
But I mean, I think like as a service
in
through
the future.
Barn Fox.
Who knows what we'll be doing
in
the future.
But
So there is a Barn Fox website, as you mentioned, Frederick.
Barnfox.com. Like I said, we just launched, so we're still kind of updating the way we're wording this and kind of getting the idea of what Barn Fox is. So I'm kind of playing with that right now. But you can go to barnfox.com and get a better sense of like what this is, and there's pricing and membership and all that sort of stuff on there.
And photographs of the location
here? We just actually did a photo shoot this weekend. I'm updating the website with new photos within the next few days.
Do you, in your description, give examples? We kind of talked about it a little bit in this interview, of the potential of an individual, because some people have their own idea, but you could open that up a little bit to an individual, and I think also individuals meeting each other can lead to potential collaborations.
Yeah.
But do you want to help your customers maybe think about, there's a few things that you could... I know you're interested in A, but there's also the B, C, and D that you may be interested in.
Yeah, I think like we opened all of this and started all of this with a very ambiguous, like, you know, it's a work retreat space, which is like, okay, that could be a lot of stuff, I guess, you know. So I think that was on purpose to not pigeonhole us into any one thing. It was meant to sort of be very broad idea of what it is. And now, even within the last few weeks, we're starting to get a better idea of like how people see themselves using the space and what it can be. So I think what you're saying is like use cases, right? Like going to the website and being a little bit more showing examples of a use case of how people can use this space. Whether you're an individual who lives in the city who wants to use this place as a remote working space, or you're somebody who lives in town who wants to use this as a community space, and all the sort of things you can do in this space. So yeah, those are the types of ways that we're going to be updating our messaging and our branding.
Because speaking for myself, and I know a lot of individuals like me who have been self-employed my entire adult life, and most of that time I work at home. And which is great, you wake up and you work, but then there's the, you know, your partner saying, can you make me breakfast? And, you know, all the interruptions that go with, you know, being at home and seeing that, the electricity bill has to be paid.
Well, that's basically what every local member, you know, says, that they need to just get out of the house, you know, get out of the apartment, get off the couch. It's just much more productive when you go somewhere with a mission.
Because I must say, having been in Hudson for a while, there are a lot of people that I know who go to, like, for the library and different places just to do what can be done here. But you're asking more of a commitment because of the membership aspect, but you're also getting committed people. People really need the space and want the space.
Yeah, I mean, it's, you know, I've spent most of my life working remotely, most of the time from coffee shops, which can work out for a lot of people and is totally fine. But like somebody who I can work from home every single day because I just go crazy being in one place all the time. I feel like you need to wake up and you need to go somewhere. There's definitely scientific research I can't like name specifically, but there's definitely, you know, the way we work as humans is you need designated places for different objectives. You know, your place of home is a place for, you know,
relaxation.
Rest, unplugging. Relaxation. Yeah. And then you need a separate place where your brain switches into like, all right, this is a space for me to work and be productive. So,
So how can you reach out to, let's say, New York City corporations and businesses that you need to say, hello, have you been to Hudson? It's just, take an Amtrak ride. Here's all the things that you can do, and then come and, you know, have your retreat and business meeting here.
Yeah, that's exactly like sort of the phase that we're in as of like right now is working on that sort of messaging and pitch deck and sort of sales. Sales is a bad word. I would say like a way to communicate that to companies in the city. So we're gonna begin actually taking that message to companies and individuals in the city. And expressing that this space exists for that reason. You mentioned earlier, like offsites, like a lot of companies have offsites. So this space can be something that can be used for offsites, but I think something that a company doesn't realize this can be used for is for their employees to be able to take a productive break from the office anytime instead of waiting for an offsite. And that's part of like the membership. And we're packaging that in a way that's cost effective, in a way that makes sense. And there's so many studies out there that show the health benefits and long-term productivity that employees feel they get from having that ability to work remotely and not, you know, be restricted to an office space every single day.
I'm going to stick a community aspect possibility into your mix, and you can, I'll surprise you with it. Because you did mention it a little bit, how the community, whether it's a yoga or something, it also has the potential for, you could have a business meeting here and then throw in a little local entertainment or local, there are a lot of historians up here, people who have expertise in a lot of categories that you could promote outside of Hudson and say,
sure,
come here, And then you can involve the community and also people from outside.
Yeah, especially because I think Hudson is home to a lot of very interesting people, well-known people. And I think, like, having a calendar with events, yeah, with people, whether it's a panel or a discussion or a performance of some sort. Yeah, those are all great ideas. We definitely are, like, you know, want to do those things and working our way to getting all those things going.
Well, as a farmer, you're planting that seed.
Yeah, to whoever's listening.
So is for now, Frederick, is the book writing kind of taking a back seat?
Well, so the book that the Back to the Land, Farming Lands Back to the Land, A Guide to Modern Outdoor Life, that was the full title of the book.
Say that again.
So I was building the brand Farming Land, which was originally like Barn Fox.
Yeah,
that was it was Farming Lands Back to the Land, A Guide to Modern Outdoor Life. I actually completed that book, and it came out in November of last year. It's available at Amazon and most bookstores. It's actually doing really well at Barnes & Noble, from last I heard.
Good.
I completed that book. It came out, and for right now, and for the indefinite future, this is 100% all I'm focusing on.
So. You guys are focused.
Laser.
Laser focused.
Yeah.
I'm surprised at Tim, it almost all goes on you, 4 months to turn this to build out. That's, you know, pretty unusual. I've seen places around here take a year to build it out, and you whipped it in 4 months.
We didn't have to do any major structural work. The space had a bathroom, which I gutted, and you know, didn't make the square footage any different. Hired some local people, and contracted it, did it myself, and sublet an apartment across the street. So
keep your binoculars on the space
24/7. For the last month of the build, I was working 14-hour days.
Also, we just don't have the budget to take too much time.
Yeah, we can't afford to build out one space for a year.
I think one of the biggest motivating factors is, we're just running out of money every extra day that we're taking.
We wanted the space to take less time, but as we realized, conference tables cost a lot of money, so we're like, I'll just build tables. So I went out and bought cherry plywood and built tables, and took a little more time than we wanted.
I think what's mind-blowing is the budget. Not only the time, but the budget that we did all this under. I don't know if I should say it. Is that something I should say? It was very good, though.
That's always good.
We did it on a fair, I would say, a fair, like, for what we accomplished for the budget was pretty, I think, impressive.
I don't know. I think, Tim, you could do some how-to videos on some of the pieces of the tables and things that you made, just and then put that on the website to sort of show how unique this place is.
Yeah, that could definitely be done. But I was actually thinking about doing event, instructional type of events where people want to learn how to do things with their hands, build stuff, woodworking. Obviously, it's not a wood shop, but...
No. And it's very clean. You don't want sawdust all over the place, but...
Yeah, yeah.
He's thinking about the basement.
I was thinking about the basement. Have a full basement down there.
There is a basement.
Out part of our space.
Yeah. Oh,
it's good. It's not part of the public space.
He's thinking about the sawdust on the floor in the basement. Yeah. the equipment's still down there.
Well, you guys are young.
Barely.
You're opening at a great time of the year. Today I saw some of the county workers taking the snow fencing off around the roads, and I'm thinking, this is only March. I'm getting scared because I'm thinking it's got to be some more snow pretty soon.
Mm. All the trees are budding. Well, now, but there's a bunch of trees budding and little flowers starting to pop up out of the ground, and it's, the beginning of March.
Yeah, pretty easy winter.
So you've got your spring fling going on. You're now open. You have your website.
Yeah.
anything next on the horizon?
Yeah, so you make a good point about the season. I think we were able, because we are opening in winter, we figured out quickly what we need to work on and change and improve, so we'll be right in time for the spring season, and we're going to start working on that next location, the Catskills, basically very soon.
And I think one of the key things that I heard you mention is that this is a 24-hour access for members, so you don't always have to be here.
Right, no,